That beautiful little ditty introduces Andres Schera here at Jazz FM. Welcome along, sir. You did that completely with your hands and mouth, a little trumpet ditty.
Yes.
Steeped in jazz. Where did you learn your skill, and where did you start to use your voice as an instrument and a percussive instrument?
I learned most of the skills as a kid, playing with the voice more in a childish way, like kids play with things, with toys. So my favorite toy was my voice. And I was searching sounds, I was trying to copy sounds, to steal sounds from my environment, and that was one thing. And the other was I was really attracted to strong rhythmical things, so to do long, repetitive, meditative rhythmical stuff with my voice, even as a kid. So I learned a lot of the skills without knowing that I'm learning them. When I improvise, I try to think of forms, so it's not just random, so it has an inner attention, or it develops. It has a reason why things are played the way they're played. So it's there's a shape that people can understand, hopefully, or attach to it. So it's improvised, but the more you improvise, the more tools you have to let it sound as if it wouldn't be improvised.
Vox instrumentum, if you like.
Yeah, you know, it sounds probably a bit naive, but the longer I play music, the more I think that the word music is just another word for love. It's the same thing.
It's all about love.
It is. It sounds really naive, but I think it is. I mean, that's my ideal, and I cannot fulfill it every time or every concert, but I'm searching for the moment where you can get connected with the audience and share emotions and express them through music. So music is just an abstract way to express love in a way.
You performed on the very last day of the EFG London Jazz Festival, yes, 2014, Club Illegalis, mm-hmm, with Lucas Nigley, who's a percussionist.
Yes.
And the two of you together conjure up, how can I say, it's a sort of a sound that is verging from comedic to anarchic, mm-hmm, with jazz in the middle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it sounds Trappist Monk, sometimes it sounds hip-hop. It's an amazing sound the two of you get together. Do you start each piece or have a preconceived notion of what you're going to do, set the vibe for it, or do you just literally get in there and let go?
We have no plans. When we go on stage, we start. We try to arrive at the place to feel how the vibe is, what are noises, what noises are happening. Is it completely quiet, or are there some whatever things going on? Is there traffic somewhere heard? And so you try to enter this acoustic space and then try to start to weave a net and create music out of it. So it's completely improvised, but we played now a couple of concerts, so we know each other, so we know how the other reacts on certain things, and we know that the other knows that, or he thinks to know that we will react on certain things. So we can also play with this, like, okay, you expect me to do this? I won't do it. I won't. No. I do it. Yes, here. And then it starts, you know. So it's like a flirt within music.
A playful flirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the two of you made an album called Arcanum. What's the theory behind Arcanum?
Well, the title came out of a bit of the idea that even though we're in the 21st century having more and more digital ways to communicate and whatever kind of high-tech developed science stuff, that a lot of basic things that you have as a human that connects us are still the same and sometimes we forget about. But in music, it is still what Lucas and I are searching, this really archaic stuff. So even though I use sometimes some effects, digital effects or stuff, that's where we're digging in this corner. And Arcanum just is a word that could possibly express this myth about things that still in 21st century we cannot explain them, even though our science is really developed. And hopefully we will never be able to explain them.
You had a piece called Chasing the Frog.
Yes.
It's a sort of angry sounding piece. Yeah. What inspired you? Sound like a man going mad.
Oh, what inspired us? I don't know. Probably just before we went to the studios, a few days before, something pissed me off. And it found its way into the music.
Because anger, humor, love, jazz, hip-hop, it's all in there. Can I ask you to improvise another piece for us right now?
Of course. So if we're in that corner, probably, in the Chasing the Frog corner, we go to that.
Yeah, let's do that. Chasing the Frog.
Revisited.
Yeah. What images were passing through your consciousness to conjure up those sounds right there and then?
No images. Only sound.
Just sound.
Yeah. No images.
You live in Switzerland, right?
Yes.
Is there a great improv scene there? You know, you get out and you find creative spaces where you live?
Yes, there is. It's quite amazing because it's a really small country, really small cities. I live in Bern. It's a city with officially 150,000, so with all the surrounding, probably 400,000 people living there. It's really small compared to London, but the creativity is huge. It's not only music, but also in theater, in literature, in dance. And at the moment, it feels like it's a bit of a melting pot, also because it's situated really nice between Paris, Vienna, Berlin, within Europe. So we're in a strong interchange with those places, and it's a good place to work, really.
You had an album out with a combo, three of you, yeah. Rom, Scherer, Ebel, and it was called At the Age of Six, I Want to Be a Cook.
Yeah.
That's a Salvador Dali line, right?
Really, yeah.
Are you inspired by the avant-garde, art-wise? Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I really love his work and his way to make pictures which are on first sight very easy to understand because they're just normal pictures with real things. They're not really abstract, but when you look at them, they're extremely abstract. So it's a nice mix between stay connectable for people, and if people want to stick into it, they can dig really deeper and deeper. So I really like this, and I like this expression. It's At the Age of Six, I wanted to be a cook. At the age of seven, I wanted to be Napoleon. And my ambition has been growing steadily ever since. I like this.
You identify with that. Yeah, it's a great thing. Do you find you have to detach yourself from the status quo, how society is in a sort of normal way. It's all very predictable and sequential, and people mm-hmm. doing the same thing all the time. And here you are way out there on the edge of randomness and creativity. Do you find that you have to take yourself off into a place, or do you embrace what you see around mm-hmm. you?
Well, that changed a lot. Like 10 or 12 years ago, one of my source of energy was that I really enjoy to provocate or to irritate the audiences, people, to not fulfill expectations.
And expectations.
Expectations. Yeah. And that was really a source of energy. And I also, I mean, I'm into jazz since probably 15 years now. So in this time, I felt like the whole scene, at least in mid-Europe, changed a lot. Like 15 years ago, it was really much more into mainstream. Like the American scene was the ideal, and people tried to get as close to the whole real jazz, bebop stuff, you know. And then I couldn't connect with this. I mean, I love jazz back all the way back. I listen lots to Duke Ellington, to Mingus, to Miles, to all those fantastic players who are a huge source of inspiration still and will be in 100 years from here. But I didn't understand why we in Switzerland, between some mountains, we should try to sound like somebody lived 50 years ago in New York. So it was nice to play in a jazz environment and to give people the security that they're gonna be sitting on a jazz sofa. And then once they sat and started to relax, you let out the nails of the sofa and start to pick them into. So that was a source of let's say, energy. But today, it changed a lot. As the scene changed, I think it doesn't need that kind of revolution anymore, because it happened a bit. And the emancipation also from the American scene happened within at least Europe, I feel. And so today, I like you said, I embrace things more, and I start to do more beautiful music also, less weird stuff. I still love all the weird stuff, but I start to do more beautiful things, get more relaxed. I don't know. Probably it's also because you get a bit older and I don't know. But I mean, I love to sing songs and real songs. I don't play too much standards live, actually. But when I teach at the University of Arts, I work mostly with standards. And I have to do once an album with standards, which will be probably the most difficult one, just because to find a really new way after 70 years to approach a song is really a big challenge. But it's something I definitely want to do.
Andreas, a pleasure talking to you. And I hope you can just see us out now on another bit of vocal improv.
Yes, good to be here. Thanks, Chris, for having me. Step that up,
Yeah, Andreas Scherer here at Jazz FM.